Psalm, we'll open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can be gathered in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our King. Lord, we want to lift up your name this morning and magnify it above every other name. And for truth, Lord, there is but one King, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one Lord of Lords. And Lord, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord, that you're the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and you ever live to make intercession for the saints. We thank you, Lord, this morning that you hear us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, even as we come together in this place, Lord. Lord, each person in their own cars offering up, Lord, songs of praise and prayers, Lord, to enter into your presence. And Lord, we just know, Lord God, that your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. I pray, Lord, this morning that as we are gathered here, that each person's heart will be right toward you, Lord, to offer up praise and thanksgiving, Lord, to give you thanks for the wonderful things for which you've done for us, Lord, for the great deliverances you have wrought in our lives, for the times of healing, Lord, the times of deliverance, Lord, the times of setting free. And Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us has a testimony this morning how you broke the chains of sin and darkness and bondage, and how, Lord, you took away the filthy garments, how, Lord, that you washed us with your own precious blood, and you took us out of a horrible miry pit, Lord, and you set our feet upon the King's highway. Lord, even as the story in the Bible goes, and the little course says, he found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and the wine. I thank you, Lord, for that this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that there's oil and wine in Zion. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll inspire Brother John as he comes and opens up your word this morning. Let that same Holy Ghost, Lord, be poured in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, that we would hear from heaven. I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that your word will come forth this morning, Lord, and that there'll be no hindrances or barriers. But Lord God, we pray that indeed it'll have free course, Lord, and it'll accomplish the purpose whereunto you would send it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're mindful this morning that you're a loving God, a God who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, you pity us, Lord. For Lord, when you were on earth, Lord, you pitied those that were sick and those that were needing healed, Lord. You pitied them, Lord, even for those, Lord, that broke the rules of their community. I think of the woman with the blood issue, Lord, how she came out of, Lord, her isolation, Lord, to come to touch your garment, Lord. And Lord, you turned around, Lord, and you said to her, woman, behold. Lord, we pray, Lord, this morning for those that's in our family that's sick or afflicted in any way, shape or form. Lord, have compassion. Of our own selves, Lord, we can do nothing. Lord, as Abraham said when he spoke to you, we are but dust and ashes, Lord. We have no strength of our own. Lord, we have nothing of our own selves, but we call on you, the great physician, the creator of heaven and earth, Lord, to reach forth thy healing hand now and touch bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. Rebuke, Lord, we say in Jesus' name, cancers, Lord. Rebuke the spirit of death, Lord. Rebuke sickness and every ailment and illness in the name of Jesus Christ over our family and loved ones this morning. Pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that there will be no room, Lord, for gloom, but, Lord, only room for joy and praising and thanksgiving in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us the victory over our enemies, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, let us not be overcome by little small things, Lord, by little foxes that would spoil the vine. But, Lord, help us, Lord, to look to thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, not be overcome with our circumstances or our situations or the things that goes on round about us. But like the psalmist David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. And Lord, we serve a great big God this morning. And like Jeremiah said, oh Lord God, nothing is too difficult for thee. Lord, we can say of a truth that is true this morning. Nothing is too difficult for thee, Lord. Lord, at your command, the winds and the waves ceased. At your command, light came out of darkness. At your command, the dead was raised and life came back. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, at your word, Lord, even as what the centurion said, Lord, he had men under him, Lord, in power and authority, but he said, at my word they go, and they go, and they come, and they come, and Lord, even so, Lord, speak the word, and so shall my daughter be made whole. And Lord, you marvelled at his faith, and so, Lord, we say, Lord, this morning, Lord, just say the word, and let all be well in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the demons in hell, and the devils, and everything that would encompass round about us, has no power over you. Lord, they're subject to you because you're their creator. Lord Jesus Christ, now help us, Lord, to have faith in you, Lord. Lord, to believe the things that would seem impossible with man, but are very possible with God. For Lord, your word says that with me, Lord, nothing shall be impossible. Lord, only believe. Lord, we just pray this morning that you'll bless this service for your own glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to turn to number 648 in the Redemption Hymn Book. Far away the noise of strife upon my ears falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Doubt and fear on things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. Amen. 648, join in.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ears.
Seem for some people that you're not dwelling in Beulah land, but you know that fella had a testimony. because no matter what happened, he still had the victory. And you know, when you've got victory, victory is, like the little chorus says, victory is mine, victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. So the Lord bless this morning, and welcome our brother John.
Greet you all this morning in the name of the Lord, and I've got a few scriptures here this morning I want to share with you, and as an introduction, I want to speak this morning, if I can, about the children of Israel and the eating of the old corn, and also a few things that took place. I've got quite a lot of scripture readings, and just as an introduction, I want to read from the book of Exodus, chapter 6, and a few verses here, beginning at verse 2. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me. And as I say, my introduction is maybe more than what I have for a sermon. And this is the story where the Lord speaks with Moses and meets with Moses, and we're only going to read it and then we're going to move on. Verse 2 says, "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of Egypt, of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for thine inheritance. I am the Lord." In verse 9, I want you to notice particular verse 9. "And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage." I want just to have a word of prayer now, and we'll turn again to the book of Joshua. Father, this morning, bless your word, and we thank you for already a sense of your presence here, and for the songs we have been able to sing concerning you, Lord, and how you've wrought for us the things that are good. And Lord, I just pray you'll bless your word this morning, Lord, and let not anything be said that ought not to be said, but let the words that are spoken bring glory and honor and praise to your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this morning I want to speak about the children of Israel and the eating of the old corn. Now, there's not very much mentioned about the eating of the old corn. In fact, I think nearly this is the only part in the Bible where you read about the old corn. And I should say, if you turn with me now, well, I'm going to refer back to that passage of scripture that I've read there in Exodus. But if you'll turn with me now to the book of Joshua, and I want to read three verses here in the book of Joshua. And This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 9, we read these words. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal until this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You know, as an introduction, I want to speak this morning briefly, and I want to try and keep it as briefly as I can. But God fulfilled his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a God that speaks his word, and he doesn't only speak his word, he performs his word. He is a performer of his own word. God is a God that has response to his own word. God will respond to his own word. And God will not only respond to his own word, but God is responsible for his own word. God has the power to carry out the things he has promised in his word. And here we see that God appeared to Moses many times and speaks to Moses. And whenever Moses come down to Egypt, he come down with a message of deliverance. He come down with a message of power. He come down with a word from the Lord. He was a man sent from God. And he came to a people that God had chosen. And he spoke to them the words that God had spoke to him. But we read in verse 9 Moses rehearsed all these words to the people in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 9. Moses rehearsed the words that God had spoke. Moses said so to the people, and the people hearkened not unto the words or unto the voice of Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. I want to say, wherever there's bondage, it's cruel. And wherever there's bondage, there's anguish of spirit, there's trouble, there's torment. Fear hath torment. And the people, the children of Israel, was living in bondage. And we read in that portion of scripture, you will read that the Egyptians wanted to keep them in bondage. You know, today, there's a fear on the world. There's a fear on people today. It's called COVID-19. And it is bringing people into bondage. Now, I'm not saying, don't follow the rules. I'm not saying any of them things this morning. But listen, there's a great fear has gripped the nation. There's a great fear hasn't only gripped the nation, but it has gripped the known world. The fear of COVID, the fear of the coronavirus. And I know many people have died. But you know, where there's a fear, there's a bondage. And you know, in the Exodus we read about a cruel bondage. You know, anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. I've written it down here. The two of them go together. But you know something? The good news is God knows where you are today. And God knows how you feel today. And God hears your prayers today. Especially if you're a Christian. Especially if you're born again. Especially if you've got the Spirit of God. God hears you today. And God knows today your hearts. And the Bible says about God heard the groanings of the children of Israel when they were down in Egypt. He heard their groanings. You know, Paul wrote to the Romans. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 through to verse 26, Paul the Apostle writes to the Romans, and he said to them that they hadn't received the spirit of fear. Now let me say this, there's a spirit of fear today. It's easy to know it. Everybody's afraid. Everybody's got a... You know, I believe there's fear and there's bondage. You know, there's a spirit of bondage. And there's a fear of bondage. But Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 8 and verse 15. And I'm just going to try and turn to it quickly. And I'm going to just read it to you this morning. Because I want to get it exactly what the scripture says. And listen to the verse 15 that says, now this is to the believer. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Bible says, goes on to say, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And you know, there's a groaning today with God's people. The Bible says that the whole creation in verse 20, for the creature itself was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature... Sorry, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And I want to read you verse 26, and then I'm going away from this scripture. It says, likewise the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What am I trying to say to you today? I'm trying to say to you today, God hasn't given you the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And you know, God sent deliverance because he sent his spirit into your hearts, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have a Father. You know, the Bible says your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of even before you asked him. I want to keep moving on. You see, Joshua was a man, and Joshua 5, chapter 5, we've read chapter 5, and it, you know, Joshua and the children of Israel had a personal God. The believer today has got a personal God. What does it mean to have a personal God? It means you have a relationship with God. It doesn't only mean you have a relationship with God, but you have communion with God. You have fellowship with God. You walk with God. You talk with God. But not only do you walk with God and talk with God, God walks with you. And God talks with you. Isn't that wonderful to know that you have a communion with God? You have a relationship with God. And here we see in verse 9 that God's talking, and he's talking to Joshua. You see, God talks to his people. God talks to the believer. And you know, it's good to know that God's not somewhere thousands of miles away. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That's the word of faith that we preach. That if you will believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And you don't have to go up to bring them down or down to bring them up. But the word's nigh you. The word's in you. When you speak the word of God. Now listen, Joshua, whenever Joshua took over from Moses. And Joshua all through his life, he was a man who read the books of the law. He was a man who read the scriptures. You know without me saying it this morning, but I'm going to say it. If you want God to speak to you, read the Bible. If you want God to commune with you, read the scripture. If you want God to talk to you, look to his word and you'll see what his word says. And you know today, the world's not looking to God. They're looking to the scientists. And you know, the Bible says, pay no heed to signs, falsely so called. You know, today, if you look to God, your faith will be in God.
If you look to the sandest, your faith will be in the sandest. But I want to say this morning, God's faith is the best faith. And God's way is the best way. And God's way is the true way. Now God spoke to Joshua and he said something, tell him, I said that Moses come down with a deliverance ministry. Joshua had a deliverance ministry. You know, anybody that God speaks to will have a deliverance ministry. They'll have the keys of the kingdom. And the keys of the kingdom is the power of binding and loosing. The power to bind, the power of the devil, and to loose the power of God. And Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, this spirit of fear wants to control the world. It is controlling the world. But doesn't only want to control the world, but the devil wants to control even the believer if he can. He wants to tell you lies, and he wants to bring you into bondage, and he wants to keep you in captivity, and he wants to keep you in fear. But the Bible says, or Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, I love that. I love that word, abundantly. To have abundant life is to have life and life to spare. Praise the Lord. But the Lord come down to Joshua and he said to Joshua in verse 9, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. You know, I said that Joshua had a personal God, but he also had a present God. He had a God that was with him every day. He had a God that could relate to the circumstances when and where. He had a God that could relate to the circumstances there and then, on the spot. You know, so many times we look back and so many times we look forward and we say it used to be better. And some people are saying it's going to be better. Some people are saying it's going to be worse. But what about today? I want you to know, and you do know this, God is interested in you today. And he said, come down to Joshua, and he said, this day have I. I want you to notice that. This day have I. This day have I, said the Lord to Joshua. This day, today. You know, God's a God of today. He's not a God of yesterday. Well, he is a God of yesterday. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here he comes down to Joshua and he says, this day have I. That's something that God done. This day have I rolled the reproach of Egypt from off of you. He took it off him. God is a delivering God. God's a God of mercy. And he could say to Joshua, this day have I. On the spot, God came down and spoke to him about the day that he lived in. You know, he can come to you and speak to you about today, about the day that you're living in, the day of coronavirus, the day of anxiety, the day of cruel bondage. But let it not be a day like that. Let it be a day of deliverance. Just like when Jesus went into the temple and they handed him the book of Isaiah the prophet, and he found the place where it was written, Isaiah 61, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and deliverance to preach the deliverance to the captive and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And he closed the book and he handed it again to the minister and he sat down and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah. You see, the power of God was there. This day, God's available today. Hallelujah. Listen, you know the story, I think, about Zacchaeus. And the Bible says that the Lord was coming and he was passing through Jericho. And he was coming along the road, and Zacchaeus, the Bible says, he was small of stature, and he wanted to see the Lord Jesus. And he ran ahead, and he climbed up a sycamore tree, isn't that right? And Jesus come to the bottom of the sycamore tree, and he stopped, and he looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must dwell at your house today. I must come to your house today. He said, make haste and come down. Jesus spoke to a man who had climbed a tree that wanted to see him. And you know, when Jesus went, Zacchaeus came down, and he went with the Lord to Zacchaeus' house. They went back to his house, and they said, he has went to be guest of a man that is a sinner. That's what they said about the Lord. He has went to be guest with a man that is a sinner. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house. When Jesus comes in the house, salvation comes in the house. When Jesus comes in the house, the power of God comes in the house. When Jesus comes in the house, the Spirit of the Lord's in the house. The power of God's available to deliver and to set free. Praise the Lord. And he said, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he come to seek and to save that which was lost. This day, God's available today. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I'm spending a lot of time here on as this is all in a sense about an introduction to the eating of the old corn. Well, you know, I'm watching the clock. Don't worry, I'm going to bring this till the close very, very quickly if I can. I'm going to come till the close. But listen, wasn't that some deliverance for Joshua? God gave Joshua deliverance, but he didn't only give Joshua deliverance, he gave the people of Israel deliverance. God's able to do what he said he was going to do. And you know, he said, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. And wherefore the name of that place is called Gilgal until this day. Now I want to speak briefly about the place called Gilgal. And you know, verse 9 interprets the meaning of the word Gilgal. And there's many meanings, I suppose, for that word Gilgal. But that place called Gilgal was a place of rolling away. Rolling away. The Lord said, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. You know that word reproach, it means for to belittle. You know, the devil wants to belittle you. He wants to belittle God's people. He wants to tell you you're no good. Well, he wants to tell you all these things you've done wrong. Yes, that's all true. But what about the Savior? We have a Redeemer. Praise the Lord. We have a Redeemer. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But here the children of Israel came to this place called Gilgal. And it was a place where that reproach was lifted off them. They came to that place. Now, you know, it was a place of remembrance. It was a place of deliverance. It was a place where God had fulfilled his word to them. Now, there's another place I want to make mention this morning. You know, the spiritual line of Gilgal today is called Calvary. The spiritual line of Gilgal today is called a place called Golgotha. And we'll read about Golgotha in the scriptures. And we'll, you can read about it. I'm not going to turn till it. I'm going to save time. But as in Matthew 27 and verse 33, you'll read the words that he bearing his cross come unto a place called a place of a skull, which in the Hebrew language is called Golgotha. And also, I believe it's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33, the Bible says they come to a place called Calvary. You know, at that place called Calvary, that's where Jesus bore your sins and mine. At that place called Golgotha, that's where Jesus took on him the sins of the world. And you know, that is the greatest place of anything or everything that ever rolled away from off the sinner. Because your sins and my sins was put on the Lord Jesus Christ at that place called Golgotha. At that place called Calvary. You know, there's a great rolling away there because the Lord placed on the Lord, or God placed on the Lord Jesus Christ the sins of the world, and he bore it all at that place called Calvary. I'm glad this morning for a place called Golgotha. I'm glad this morning for a place called Calvary. I'm glad this morning for a place called Gilgal, a place of rolling away. You know what you read about the children of Israel? The Bible says in verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at eve in the plains of Jericho. They encamped at Gilgal. You know where we encamp? You know, if you were talking to the children of Israel, what would they say about Gilgal? They'll say, we come over Jordan and we passed over on dry land. And why did the Lord say, set up 12 stones out of the river Jordan, pick up 12 stones out of the river and set them up? He said to set them 12 stones up as a memorial that you passed over Jordan on dry land and the Lord brought you out of the bondage of Egypt. So that when you would look at these 12 stones, this would be a place of remembrance. Hallelujah. And you know, the children of Israel could look to Gilgal as a place of remembrance where the Lord brought them out of bondage, and also where he rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off them. They could look to that place and say, yes, that was a place where God delivered us. That was a place where God rolled the bondage away. And you know, the bride of Christ today, the body of believers today, the Christian today has a place of remembrance. It's called Calvary. It's called Gilgal. And you know, the children of Israel remained there at Gilgal. It was like a base camp. You know where our base camp is today? It's at a place called Calvary. The Bible says, and someone wrote a wee song one time, and it said, Calvary covers it all. I'm glad today that Calvary covers it all. Now I'm spending a lot of time. I'm moving on. But here the children of Israel was in a place of remembrance. And you know, we have a place of remembrance today. It's called Calvary. Calvary. Mercy there was great. We sing the wee hymn sometimes. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my born and soul found liberty at Calvary. But you know, I have to move on, and this is a very, very long introduction. It's too long of an introduction. But I'm coming now, and I should have been here sooner. I'm sorry. Listen, but I want to speak to you now about this old corn. And you know, I haven't much to say about it, but listen, the children of Israel, they have just come over Jordan. The children of Israel, Joshua has circumcised the people the second time because they weren't circumcised in the wilderness. And there's a turning back, you see, till the law here, and there's a turning back to the words of a prophet. And there's a remembrance here. And you know, we can say that also, that we have had a turning back to what a prophet said. And also we can say we have a remembrance today of Calvary and a place called Gilgal. And you know, this old corn, after these things, they eat the old corn, they kept the Passover. And you know, there was a remembrance of the blood of the Lamb and the keeping of the Passover. There was a remembrance of that night when the death angel come through Egypt and slew all the firstborn. There was a remembrance when the Passover was kept. And you know, when the believer breaks bread today, there's a representation there also for the believer who will break bread, because Jesus said, for as often as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So it's we have a remembrance also when we keep the Lord's table. And here, these people had all them things and they eat the old corn. The Bible says that they eat the old corn. And I want to say to you that the manna ceased the next day. The manna ceased. Now what can we say about the manna? Well, briefly, Jesus spoke about the manna, and what did he say about it? He said, Moses give you not the true bread from heaven, but my Father give you the true bread which come down from heaven, which if a man eat, he shall live forever. Where do I read that in the Bible? I'm just going to give it to you, but I'm not going to turn it to you. Read that in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, if you want to turn it up. But Jesus said that he was the true bread from heaven. He said, I am the bread of life. It's not good to know there's a bread of life. And that bread of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if any man eat this bread, he'll live forever. And he says, Moses didn't give you the true bread, but he gave you manna. And Jesus referred to the manna, and he said, the people, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. But I am the bread that come of life that come down from heaven. God sent his Son into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise his holy name. Now listen, this old corn, what does it represent? I'm going to tell you what I believe it represents today. It represents the gospel. It represents the bread of life. Who is the bread of life? Jesus said he was the bread of life. This old corn, this old gospel, you know the remedy for the world today? It's the old gospel. It's not a new gospel. You don't read in the Bible here they ate the new corn. No, they didn't. They ate the old corn. That old corn was the original bread of life. That's where it come from. Now, the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years. And they were given the manna to humble them. To make them humble. That's why they were given the manna. But it wasn't really the true bread. It wasn't the original. Now I want to say today, there's people here in this portion in Joshua 5, 9 through to 12. There's people here, the children of Israel, had never eaten the old corn. They'd never eaten it before. They'd lived on the manna. They'd never had a bit of that old corn. There's people today, you know, and they've never heard the gospel. There's people today and they've never experienced the gospel. And when they've never experienced the gospel, they've never experienced the power of God. The Bible tells me the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If you want the power of God, get the gospel. If you want to keep bringing the power of God, keep bringing the gospel. If you want to get people delivered, give them the gospel. The gospel is a delivering power sent from God. Well, here there's people in this portion that we have read, and they've eaten this old corn, and it's the first time in their life they've ever eaten the corn. You know what Paul said about being in Christ? He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So, there was a change. There's a change comes on the believer when he eats the old corn. In modern terms today, when I say to you, the man needs to eat the old corn, he needs to get the gospel. And he needs to get the bread of life. Now, Jesus, this was back to the original, I believe. Now, listen. I want to say this. When the children of Israel eat that old corn, they didn't only eat the old corn, but they made a statement. They made a statement. Now I'm going on. I'm sorry. I'll soon be over here. But listen, they made a statement. What was the statement they made? They made a statement saying they had come in to the inheritance that God wanted to give them. because the manna ceased the very next day. They had come into, you know what I say? God was pleased that they ate that old corn. God was pleased with it. Now listen, we read at the beginning how that Lord had spoke to, said to Moses, and he said it appeared unto Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and he had promised them the land. You know, there's one word that I've said this before and I'm going to repeat it. Somebody says to you, tell me one word in the Bible that proves that the Bible's true and that God's real and that God's true. I would say to you, Israel. Israel today is proof that God honours his word. I want to read you, and I'm coming to the close very soon. I want to read you some words that King Solomon blessed the people with, and it's in 1 Kings and it's chapter 8. And it's way down verse 56. Now, you just bear with me a wee moment. I'm just right close till it here. Chapter 8 and verse 56. And this is Solomon, and he's blessing the people of God. And we read these words in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. It says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Solomon said there wasn't one word failed of all the good promises that he promised by the hand of his servant Moses. Isn't it good to know that God keeps his word? Isn't it good to know that God is able to fulfill his word? You know, I want to come to the close. Maybe making a very abrupt end. I didn't mean to take up just as much as your time this morning, but I want to come to the close and I want to read you some of the words that Paul the Apostle says to the Ephesian church. And it's Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just trying to find it here, and I'm going to read a few verses here. You see, whenever the children of Israel, did eat that old corn, they made a statement. They made a statement, and the statement was that the Lord had brought them. The Lord had done what he said he was going to do. And it wasn't, anything that the people had done so much, but it was what God had done. Now just bear with me one moment. I had turned to Ephesians chapter 1 and the wind just blew the page over and I'm turning back again. But God made a statement, and when God makes a statement, God is able to carry out what he said he would do. Just in the closing moments, you see, when them people, Israel, come over Jordan, they come into the inheritance that God had planned for them. They stepped in and they made a statement when they ate that old corn. And they were saying to the enemy, we have arrived here, we have came here, you thought we were never going to make it, but we're here and we're eating the old corn. And you see, in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read these words. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So it's not, you know what's going on in the world today? I know the devil's maybe having a heyday, but the Lord has allowed it. And God has predestinated us according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And verse 12, I want you to notice this. that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And whom, now, when the children of Israel ate the old corn, it was to the praise of God's glory. Do you know what they could say? To God be the glory. Not to man, not to us. To God be the glory. To the praise of his glory. And Paul says that we should be to the praise of his glory. And listen, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Bless the Lord. You know, we have received an inheritance in Christ. And you know, somebody says, what is our inheritance? Where's the land that we come into? Well, Paul writes to the Galatians, and I'm ending with us here. Just have patience with me. Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Now the Lord hung on a tree, hung on a cross. Why? Verse 14 tells you why. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God promised to give you his Spirit. And when God promises to do something, he always does it. And he said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. I'm gonna leave it there. You know, chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What am I trying to say to you today? I'm trying to say to you today, don't let the COVID bring you into bondage. I'm not saying go out and break the rules, but what I am saying is don't let it control your life and don't let it ruin your life. Don't let it bring you into bondage. You can still be a believer and you can follow the rules that the government has set in place. But also remember, you've got a Father who knows what things you have need of. You've got a God that you can call upon. And you've got a God that hears and answers prayer. I'm just going to pray quickly, and then I'm going to ask the pastor to come, and then the pastor's going to probably bring Guy, and we're going to have a song. Now, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. I'm just going to pray, and I ask that the Lord will honor his word to your heart this morning. Our Father, this morning we thank you for your word, and Lord, I say, let your word not return unto you void, but let it prosper in the thing whereto you do send it. And Lord, I pray that we'll be a people that'll be to the praise of your glory. And Lord, help us always to present that old corn, to present that old gospel. And Lord, you're the gospel. Outside of you, there is no gospel. And Lord, you're the salvation. And Lord, Father, we say you have sent forth your Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And we cry, Abba, Father, today, Lord, and we say, Lord, bless your people. Keep your people. Keep them from the evil, Lord, that's in the world. Keep them from the fear and keep them from the bondage. Deliver them out of fear and out of bondage. Take the reproach of Egypt from off them, Lord. Take the reproach of the enemy from off them. Lift it up, lift them up, Lord, and let your name be exalted and glorified in Jesus' precious name. We thank you, Lord, we can ask these things believing. And we know, Lord, you've performed your word and you'll do it again. We say, Lord, do it again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one, and I really appreciated the word this morning. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed it. I believe it's a word from the Lord, a word in season, and may the Lord bless Brother John for the word, and we thank the Lord for his word. Amen. Praise God. This evening we'll be on live again. I know, keep tuned in. I know it's difficult in these times that we've heard, but keep tuned in, keep hearing the word of God. As you hear the word of God works in you, it works in me. And as our Brother Gary and Sister Ruth sings that wee song, it's changing us. Sometimes it's slow going, but there's no knowing. You're going to have to sing that, brother. Praise God. But it's a really, really lovely wee song. And tune in again this evening at 4:30. And keep praying for each other. Keep marching on, and we'll be live again next Wednesday at our normal times, all our service normal times. And I'll announce for next Sunday morning as well. But we'll be meeting, the Lord willing, weather permitting. I know it's cold. It's getting a cold coming in this week. So I don't know what will happen. But our brother Gary's going to come. And God bless your brother John. Me and Gary had a chance this week to take part in an online mission with Market Hill Christian Fellowship. And we've heard there's people's got saved during the online meeting, so we give God the praise for that. The Lord bless each one.
Sing it. He's changing me, my precious Jesus. And it's sometimes it's slow going, but there's joy knowing. there's joy knowing that someday perfect I will be.
He's changing me.
Children's course, while our brother John was talking about Gilgal and the rolling away, it's called Roll Away, Roll Away, All the Burdens of My Heart Rolled Away.
Roll away, roll away, roll away, all the burdens of my heart rolled away. Roll away, roll away.
this, we'll just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And we thank you, Lord, even this one hymn writer wrote and said, the old story, it is ever new. The old story, praise the Lord, is true. That Jesus died for me as well as you. I love the old story. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the gospel. It's the unchanging gospel. And it will remain the same until you come, Lord Jesus Christ. And even after that, Lord, it can never be changed or altered because it's the truth. Lord, we just bless your name this morning. Bless all that took part in the service this morning and everyone that come together. We pray, Lord, you'll take each one's, Lord, to their dwellings in safety. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless this evening the pastor, Lord, as he ministers online in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for Brother John, bless him also. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, you'll help us, Lord Jesus, to be overcomers every single day of our lives in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Let us, Lord, set our hands to the plough and not to look back. As the little chorus says, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Lord, let us look with our eyes steadfastly toward you in heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Cover each one now with your precious blood as we go. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless thee and us, you leave. God bless.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, I shall be no more, and the morning brings eternal bright and fair. When the same